The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Today I want to ask you, we'll have a chance to talk about this, I think. I would like some feedback from you. I'd like for you to talk to me about your own personal far side of the sea. What is your far side of the sea? You may have had more than one in your lifetime. I have. And the one I want to tell you about is probably the most, impactful in my life. But you probably have had at least one far side of the sea. You might also know that as the end of your rope. You might also know it as, say, well, my friends who are in 12-step or addiction recovery talk about hitting rock bottom. Maybe you have another metaphor for far side of the sea, but we're going to see that language, far side of the sea, in today's psalm. And I'm going to ask you to think about what yours is. You may be at your far side of the sea right now. Christy said a few minutes ago, this has been an especially, particularly, and I think there were several other adjectives in there, hard week. It's been kind of a hard week for me too, I'll just confess to you. I've been a little down. Anybody ever get a little down? Yeah. Okay. So I want you to be thinking about your far side of the sea while I'll tell you the story of mine, at least the first significant one. I was a college senior and I knew everything. In case you ever wanted to meet somebody who knows everything, me in 1985, I knew everything. And I decided that I wanted to spend my senior year abroad. Now, a lot of people will do their junior year abroad, like an exchange program. And I was a year off in getting the application going and whatever. But I did make an application to the International Student Exchange Fellowship. I had to go before a board that evaluated the application. It was really a big deal. And I still think of it as a good achievement. And some people go abroad when they're studying for, say, a quarter or a semester, but this particular program was for the whole year. And I had never been out of the country before by myself. I had been to Canada, and I had traveled some, but never out of the country and all by myself. So this East Tennessee kid got on board a plane in September of 1985. And I'd never seen my daddy cry before, but it was at that point that I knew this was probably a big deal. I later learned that it was tears of joy that he sent me out. But I got on board a KLM airplane, went to Amsterdam, Schiphol International Airport, the largest airport in the world at the time, and then flew from there to Manchester, England. And somebody met me at the airport. They had a little sign with my name on it, and they took me a long, long way to the University of Manchester. And by the way, my dorm tower was an international dorm, which threw me off at first because I thought, why are they putting me in an international dorm? And then I realized I'm an international. That's for all those foreign people. And then I realized I was one. That dorm was next door to the John Rylands Library. And if you know anything about the history of biblical manuscripts, you know that the John Rylands Library is home to one of the earliest original papyri and manuscripts of some of the New Testament. I didn't know it at the time. I lived right next door, and I could have gone next door and seen it. Maybe if I get to go back someday, I'll see that. Anyway, the people took me to my dorm, and I went upstairs. I had a little room to myself. Number 88 was my room. And I was in an international dorm. My whole floor were people from all over the world. And I cherish those friendships even to today. Some of them continue to today. And I sat down on my bed, which faced Oxford Road. And by the way, the first time I went out on Oxford Road, I almost got whacked by a bicycle because I looked that way instead of that way and didn't realize the traffic does different things. I sat down on the edge of my bed and I began to cry. And I said, what in the world have I just done? Here I was 5,000 miles away from home. And I would like to remind you that this was before Skype and email and cheap, communication. I called my parents once a week, and it was very expensive. I would feed pound coins into this machine just to talk to mom and dad. One of the neat things about that, though, is that we wrote lots of letters back and forth, and I still have those letters that my daddy sent me, talking about life on the farm and growing up and how proud they were of me and so on and so forth. Well, I went to the far side of the sea. That for me was literally and figuratively the far side of the sea. And my mother, who was praying for me like nobody's business the whole time, would give me scriptures from time to time. I don't recall specifically whether she gave me Psalm 139 to read, but I found it and I clung to it. And when I say clung to it, I mean I squeezed the shnikey out of it. I hugged it close to my heart and I relied on it, because there were days that I felt utterly and completely alone. That far north in England, after the time change in the fall, it starts to get dark about 3 o'clock. And then by 3:30 in the middle of the winter, it's black. And you're walking along in the rain and you're slumped over and you're having to face another British meal. They don't cook really well in England. I did a lot of takeout. And I felt so alone. Now, God was gracious and introduced me to some wonderful people. I said earlier that I had really good friends. And one of them is still a very dear friend. He recently moved with his family to Australia, but we keep up and we Skype and we see each other that way. I would like for you to look at Psalm 139 with me, and I'm going to read the whole thing. And I want us to concentrate for a few moments with the bit in the middle about the far side of the sea. I want you to be thinking about where your far side of the sea is. We'll talk about that. And then a thought or two from one of the church fathers. And then we'll conclude by hopefully memorizing verse 23-24. I'm using the NIV version today. That just happens to be my preference for teaching out of. You might have a different version. That's perfectly fine. But if you don't already know verse 23 and 24, we're going to try to memorize it together today, because it's a beautiful way to start and end each day. Psalm 139, for the director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. By the way, is that comforting? A little intimidating? Maybe both? Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. I love this picture. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Time out a moment to say that for this young fella going to England, I was surprised and delighted to learn that my God is even there. That may sound silly, but that was a big revelation to me then. Christy said a moment ago, the words of that wonderful song, even the wind and waves still know his name. And you know what? They know it off Gibraltar, and they know it off Hawaii and Guam, and they know it in the North Sea. Our God is God, and he is everywhere. Thanks be to God. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me. Well, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Is that encouraging or intimidating? A little of both. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a great psalm. I hope you already know it well. But I want to ask you, please, to focus on the bits between verse 7 and 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Before I ask for your feedback, let me point out one thing. There's a literary device here called a merism. And it's one of mentioning extremes, so in order to paint the whole picture. For example, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. That's a merism. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, settle on the far side of the sea, even there. Can you scan the psalm just for a moment, the whole thing, and just see if you see another one of those beautiful literary rhetorical devices? Yep, sitting down, rising up, darkness and light, hemming in behind and before. So there are all kinds of beautiful contrasts here that show that God is in all of it, as far as the east is from the west. That's another biblical one. An example of a secular one would be, lock, stock, and barrel, the whole thing. The psalmist is reminding us again and again and again that God is the whole thing. God has the whole thing. God is everywhere in all things. I want you to look at 7 through 10, the far side of the sea. As I've been talking about far side of the sea, were you able to think of a time in your life, a far side of the sea? Does anybody have one? Does anybody have an end of the rope or rock bottom or a far side of the sea you'd like to share? Yes. By the way, that little section in the psalm seems out of place. All the bit about slaying the wicked and bloodthirsty and do I not hate those who I hate them with a perfect hate. I remember hearing this psalm chanted in Anglican style, and it always struck me as a little funny when this beautiful thing would come along. Do I not hate those who hate you? I hate them with a perfect hate. It's just strange. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think I remember some scholars suggesting that it doesn't belong or that it should be taken out or edited. But you know what? That's us. It's me anyway. I don't know about you. Maybe you're perfect and holy, but I'm not. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. I'm with you, Heather. Yeah, good. Somebody else, a rock bottom or far side of the sea? Yes. That's the far side of the sea. So go back to those verses, please, 7 through 10 again, and let's think about this. When you feel like you're at a far side of the sea, when you sense that you are at the end of your rope or you're at the rock bottom, go back to these verses and squeeze the shnikey out of them and cling to them. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I find myself under barbed wire with live ammunition, if I find myself pregnant at 17 and thrown out of my parents' home, If I discover that my next door neighbors have robbed me of all the precious things that I know about and have, if I am molested and want the death of my tormentor, if I don't have money for college and don't know what to do, verse 10, even there. Oh, you ought to circle those two words, beloved. Even there. Even there. Even there. Say that with me. Even there. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Where is your far side of the sea? Even there, your hand will hold me and guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Look at verse 23 and 24. I want you to commit this to memory. Our pastor makes us do things. I want to go to a different church. Say it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Put your Bible down. Do that much with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. The last two bits. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The first couplet has a search me and know me, test me and know me, see if there's any offensive way, lead me in the way. Can you do all of it if I help you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to leave you with these words by Hilary of Poitiers. He was a church father back in the very early days of the church, and he was reflecting on the omnipresence of God. And he has this to say, and if you would like a copy of this, let me know. Just drink these words in. All existence originates from the Father. In Christ and through Christ, God is the source of everything. In contrast to everything else, He is completely self-existent. He doesn't receive His being from the outside, but possesses it from and in Himself. He is infinite, for nothing can contain Him, and He contains everything. I love this next line. He is eternally unrestricted by space, for He can't be limited. He is eternally prior to time. I'm going to read that again. That's good. He is eternally prior to time, for time is His creation. And here are my favorite two sentences. Imagine what you think might be God's farthest limit, and you will find Him present there. Strain to see as far as you can, for there is always a further horizon to strain toward. He owns infinity, just as you own the power to make such efforts to comprehend Him. Words will fail you, but His being will not be restrained. Turn back the pages of history, and you will always find Him present. If numbers fail to express the old ages you have penetrated, God's eternity still isn't diminished. Exercise your intellect to comprehend Him as a whole, but He will elude you. Read that sentence again. Imagine what you think might be God's farthest limit, and you will find Him present there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, what are those two words? Even there. Your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. Let's pray. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God, how can we but tremble before You and acknowledge that You are everywhere. There is no limit to Your knowledge and understanding and sight. Got to be honest with You, Lord, sometimes that's a little intimidating. Because sometimes I do want the darkness to hide me or think that that behavior or even that selfish attitude would be hidden from You. But thanks be to God, You are all-knowing and all-seeing and all-present. God, we humble ourselves before You. asking your forgiveness, giving you thanks, and most of all, Lord, delighting in the promise that no matter how we describe our farthest side of the sea, you are already there and present, and your right hand will hold us fast. We give you thanks in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.